This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
A massive weekend of football. Good afternoon. I want to get to some of the key discussion points from the games later in the podcast. But off the top this morning, I want to discuss the Bombers, the latest on Zach Williams, the latest on Tim English. And also, I was in Sydney yesterday at Giants Stadium for the Giants and Carlton. A huge win to the Blues. They're one of the most positive stories out of the weekend. But I want to discuss the latest, trying to give you some insight on what's going on with their coaching search. But off the top this morning, the Bombers, they're a major issue to come out of the weekend. In particular, this incident, or not incident, but vision, where Luke Parker basically belittled the Bombers, in particular some effort in the centre square on Saturday night, basically belittling Dylan Scheel, implying, if you like, from the vision, that perhaps Scheel didn't go in or he was soft. And I guess that piece of action from Parker typifies a lot of the Bombers supporters' frustration at the moment, and some of the issues in regards to the club. Now, it seems to me like their issues are on field. I mean, the president could talk today or the CEO could talk today, but only responses like their game against Hawthorn are probably going to address this. Sources I speak to seem to point to the fact that it's effort related. Why are they different last year compared to this year in terms of their effort? And obviously the emphasis is going to be on their performance, and in particular, the truck, Ben Rutten, and why he's not getting the most out of this group just at the minute. One of the biggest talking points to come out of Parker's actions over the weekend, if you like, in terms of sort of belittling Scheel, is why didn't the Bombers stand up during the game? Matthew Lloyd and Jude Bolton raising those points on 9 and 7 respectively yesterday. In terms of where the Bombers go from now, I don't believe they'll announce any type of formal football review, either an internal or external one. But I do believe the board is spending a lot of time, I'm told this from the Bombers, a lot of time now on their football issues. So I'll have more on that on 7 News tonight, but they're resisting at this stage any type of review or even speaking the CEOs, Xavier Campbell or Paul Brasher today. I invited them on this podcast. I'm trying to get some comment from them, but I think they want to get the action and the talk on the field first. But anyway, I'll have more on that tonight, but the Bombers are going to be a big discussion point this week.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
Carlton, incredible yesterday, won by 30 points in the wet, despite missing the likes of Mackay, and the Giants obviously had plenty to play for with Leon Cameron. But the big story was Zach Williams, who came into the club on big money, you know, up to $850,000 a year. He's previously had an Achilles issue before, back in 2018, ruptured it, and it cost him the season. He's had scans this morning in Paran Williams. We're waiting on the outcome of those scans this afternoon. I spoke to the Blues training officials, Andrew Russell, briefly on the ground last night, as well as went into Michael Voss's press conference. There is some degree of optimism that it's not his Achilles and perhaps might be a calf issue or another issue in that part of the leg. That's what Carlton fans will obviously be hoping is the case, because the Achilles would spell the season. So we'll know more this afternoon or tonight on Zach Williams. But hopefully for his sake, it's some positive news as far as his injury is concerned. It is interesting. I mean, he's been playing off halfbacks. So they've got some guys that could cover him: Stocker, Boyd, Marchbank. So it's not a crucial loss, but it would be a key one, because Williams has been in obviously very good form and playing very well for the Blues. So we'll have the latest on that tonight as well.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
Tim English, the good news is, as I've reported in recent weeks, and Chris Grant confirmed this on Friday night, a new deal for English to stay at the Bulldogs is imminent. But in the background, a story that sort of slipped slightly below the radar is his health battle with this flu that's debilitating players at the moment. I know Scott Pendlebury, I reported on Friday night, revealed missed the game due to the flu. It's affecting a lot of players. But English was hospitalised, I understand, with this flu. And my ears pricked up on Friday night, because this is the extent of it, which Luke Beveridge himself revealed post-game for the Bulldogs.
I don't think Tim will come back this week. No, he'd been, obviously I mentioned that he'd been really ill. I mean, really ill, you know, and so I don't think he'll be ready to play next week. Just got a really, really bad bout of this flu, and yeah, it's a difficult one, you know, because of the sort of medical, you know, privilege aspect of it all, but it's just really knocked him around, you know. So nothing sinister. We think he'll be okay, but you know, he's probably dropped a little bit of weight. It'll take a little while to get his bearings again.
The good news today is I can report, and I've confirmed with the Bulldogs, that English is back at the club post that hospital visit and scary episode, I understand, obviously, with the flu. So that's really good news for English and the Bulldogs. I think he had a light run this morning. He's in doubt for this week because he's obviously lost a bit of conditioning and fitness as a result of this debilitating flu. But just from a general health perspective, it's good news that he's back at the club today after what sounds like a fairly scary episode based on Bevo's comments and what he's prepared to say Friday night and his experience with the flu.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apart from some broken wing flaps, which affected our flight up, and a tyre replacement, which was necessary on the way back. I had a long day in Sydney yesterday. Left at 6 a.m, got back at 1:15 this morning, but I was fortunate enough to be at the Giants Stadium for the Giants and Carlton. It was great at the end. They had a guard of honour for Leon Cameron. Both sides did that, and there was great goodwill on the part of both sides. A few of the Blues players, for example, Zach Williams, had played under Leon, so there was a lot of goodwill there, and they did it in style, the Giants, sending off Leon really appropriately, handled as well as I can remember a club handling that in recent times. Obviously, Collingwood did it well with Nathan Buckley at the SCG last year as well. You know, was Leon's separation as mutual as it's been led on in the last week? I think the answer is yes. He wasn't going to get a new contract next year, so I think there was a degree of frustration on Leon's part over recent weeks, but he bought in to the fact that it was mutual, the Giants did, and I don't think it could have been handled any better, really, in the end. In terms of the latest, in terms of the search now for his replacement, they'll form a subcommittee this week, the Giants, to look at that. Tony Shepherd, I think, will be on that, the president of the club, or the chairman. Also, Dave Matthews will be on that, and Jimmy Bartello really now shapes. He was there yesterday, Jimmy, as a bit of a kingmaker in this selection process. They'll announce that this week. In terms of some of the candidates as well, Nathan Buckley and also Ross Lyon on Triple M effectively pulled out or indicated they wouldn't enter the race for the Giants job over the weekend. But this was Jason McCartney, who I spoke to on the ground yesterday, and also a clip from Bucks and also Ross Lyon on Triple M.
James is doing a bit with us anyway in that leadership space, so where there's the opportunity, you can and help out and do a bit more. But Mark and I will discuss after hopefully we're celebrating a win.
Yeah, without the stress of and pressure of coaching, I've actually really enjoyed myself and the situations I've found myself in. I don't feel the need to bring that stress back into my life.
No, I went on this merry-go-round last year. It wasn't a joyful ride, really, so I think I won't be taking a ticket up on this ride.
Heard he wasn't at the ground yesterday. He's in London. He's due to come back soon. I do understand and have reported, including on this podcast, that he will have an increased role under McVay at the Giants this season. I think it's just be a slight increase in his responsibilities, but I think you'll see him doing a little bit more. Kevin Sheedy gave a ringing endorsement for Hurdy on Friday night on 7 News, saying that Hurdy had served his time and his penance out of the game, said that there wasn't any positive tests under James Hurd at Essendon, and said the game deserves to give Hurdy a second chance. The game should do that. So that's what Sheed said on Friday night. Is Hurdy a contender for the role? Look, it obviously depends on what he says now, whether he's interested in going for it. Would there be some issues with that? Well, the AFL said they would certainly be supportive of that. It's interesting. Alistair Clarkson will be first cab off the rank, clearly. I asked the Giants yesterday about where they see the list. They say it's an evolving list. The reason that's relevant is clearly Clarko said on Fox last week that if he comes back into footy and coaches, he wants to go for a premiership. And it does appear that there are some issues, at least, with the Giants list. You know, they've got Kelly, Canelio, Whitfield and Green, a couple of which, Canelio, even Whitfield and sort of Green yesterday, are a little bit out of form, or a lot out of form in the case of Canelio's case. They're all on $1 million plus, gobbling up a lot of the salary cap. You know, they traded out Jeremy Cameron. That's been obviously a blow. I mean, now they're relying on Himmelberg and Hogan to kick goals. Hogan was obviously out yesterday with illness. It's been a bit of a case of midfielder in, midfielder out. You know, you could easily argue they should have taken Gibkiss, who went to the Tigers as that key position halfback in the most recent draft. And they've traded out a lot of talls. Cameron, Lobb, Frost, Core, Tomlinson, even Stewart. You know, they're crying out for key position players. And I'm sure Clarko would be sort of considering all that at the moment. But that's sort of the latest in terms of the Giants coaching search. I had the impression yesterday that there's a perception at the Giants that the AFL still want Clarko to go to the Suns. I just get that impression. Having said that, Stuart Dew's winning at the moment, so that's a complicated conundrum in itself.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
And I'll leave you with some talking points, which I'll see, I'm sure you'll see on some of the shows tonight. North, another 69-point loss. At some point, you know, you'd like to hear from the president or the CEO as to what's going on there, but I'm sure there'll be a discussion point this week. Collingwood, without Pendlebury and Grundy, were really lost in the middle on Friday night. Degoe had 20 touches, kicked a goal, but I think there'll be a focus on his value this week. You know, he's not playing like a $900,000 midfielder. He's playing more like a $700,000 sort of midfielder that can go forward and kick goals. He's obviously a good player, but there'll be some discussion surrounding, you know, what he's worth if Collingwood is to keep him beyond this season. They've got a tough assignment now, the Pies, against Fremantle this weekend. So things went off course, I think, for the Pies a little bit, particularly with that Pendlebury through illness, and Grundy is still to miss quite a period of time on Friday night. The Tigers, 23-point winners at the MCG against Hawthorn. They're thereabouts, the Tigers. I love watching Bolton. He had one touch to quarter time, got a bake, I think, from Damien Harvick, he said, and then had 20 touches and two goals and burnt off. He was too fast for a few of the Hawks players. He was absolutely brilliant. The Eagles, another 74-point loss against Melbourne. They just keep racking up these massive losses, the Eagles. The Saints, that was a massive win over the Cats. I mentioned Jack Steele out for 6 to 8 weeks. That's obviously a blow. Brett Ratten clearly edging towards being recontracted. That can't be a long way off now. Wind Hager was the super sub for St Kilda. He came on and had 15 touches and sort of turned the game on its head, at least for the 20 minutes or so when St Kilda really dominated the Cats. And the Gold Coast, 36-point winners over the Dockers. Well, do they recontract now, and does that change the discussion around Stuart Dew? Look, if they lose this weekend, they'll still be in a difficult position finals-wise. The Suns, having said that, they've certainly had a couple of good wins now over Sydney and Fremantle in consecutive weeks. And as I mentioned, the Blues, 30-point winners, that was very, very good for them yesterday. One of their best wins, really, certainly under Voss, and they've had some good ones yesterday. In brief, Roaming Brian, back Friday, according to the Herald Sun, I've mentioned on this podcast, he already sort of just warmed everyone up, Roaming Brian, on Friday night in the Bulldogs room, so I'm looking forward to that. Gil McLachlan is in Adelaide today, launching Sir Doug Nicholls' round. The commission will meet this week regarding the grand final. I think Gil will be asked about the dissent confusion again on Friday night. I think Gil's view on that, speaking to him briefly yesterday, sort of off record, was that if no one transgresses and no one remonstrates with the umpire, it's very simple. There'll be no 50-metre penalties and no free kicks. So it'll be interesting to see from him this afternoon on that. And also just one from left field, Peggy O'Neill, the Richmond president, was asked about this talk of Dustin Martin going up to Sydney to complete the rest of his career over the weekend. And Peggy indicated that Dusty had told her that he'd certainly see out the remaining 2 years of his contract at Richmond. So he's got 2 more years to go beyond this year. So that's an interesting one. I'm sure it won't make the Sydney discussion go away because Dusty's spent a lot of time up there recently. But it is a good indication from the Richmond president that Dusty at least, I think, wants to be a one club player. That'll all play out over the course of the remainder of the season. Essendon will be the big focus tonight and for the rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. A big day of news. I'll also have the latest later on, and we'll have on our social channels regarding Zach Williams. That's a big story. Hopefully not his Achilles, but Triple M rocks football. Thanks so much for joining us.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more, and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.